felt so lost, and I felt all of the hatred.
Say good morning to Anna. She hit the snooze button 6 times this morning, spilled coffee on herself, and yelled at her daughter to go back to sleep. Raven, he got dressed by cell phone light in his hallway, tiptoed past his puppies out the front door to get to the studio on time. The Anna and Raven Show.
Good morning. How are you, Raven?
I feel fantastic.
Thanks. It is a good day.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's good. I'm glad that you're full of hope on a Monday.
No, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing this new thing now where I have to start with a positive mindset.
Okay.
Because that sets the tone for the rest of the day and the week.
All right.
Yeah, because if you go into today being like, ugh,
well, of course,
Monday, ugh, I got so much to do today, then what are you going to do? You're going to be miserable.
I didn't realize you were having a problem with that.
I tend to do that, mostly because I hate getting up so early, which is ironic because I get up at 3:40 in the morning every weekday.
I mean, that's our life.
Yep. But if you start the day with a positive note, here we are.
Okay, great. Yeah.
But I will tell you, there's a lot of things that happened this weekend that we did not get credit for, and that's why we need to start the week the way we always do, with this.
Doing the right thing can be really hard.
I'm a good person, yes, it's true.
That's why it's time for credit due.
I'm a good person.
Anna and Raven.
What didn't you get credit for over the weekend? You could always call or text 1-800-330-9999. And Raven, earlier I was just talking about how you need to start on a positive note.
Right.
You have to start your week positive.
Of course.
So I thought today I would give credit to my husband instead of taking credit for something that I did that I didn't get credit for.
Wow, what did your husband do that you didn't get him credit for right at that moment, and so, now you're going to do it?
Yeah. I have had all the Halloween decorations in a giant pile in the garage.
Right.
But I haven't felt like doing anything with them because, remember, what I had done is I went to Goodwill and I bought these old porcelain dolls, which we've had several psychics tell me may or may not be possessed.
That's right, right. So you just thought that you would throw them in a box and then leave them there and then that would keep you safe?
Well, I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do with them? Because everyone says that I should either burn them or I should throw them away.
Or bury them.
Yeah,
and then bless them. Right,
yeah,
that was another option.
And I was like, I don't feel like doing any of these things.
You just wanted to throw them in a box and be done with it.
Yeah, so I just left them in a giant heap in the garage.
What did he do?
He went to Home Depot and bought giant bins. And what he did is he cleaned all the Halloween decorations so they weren't covered in like leaves and dirt. And he packed everything away in the
bins.
And he brought them up into the attic all by himself. And I didn't say a word. Mostly because I didn't want him to know that he was possibly bringing possessed dolls into the attic.
Well, I was going to point that out. I mean, on the one hand, it's fantastic that he cleaned them and he put them away and organized all your stuff for next year. On the other hand, now they're in the house, all right? And they live there now.
So I didn't give him credit, mostly because I wasn't sure if I was just going to be, I don't know, welcoming the evil spirits in the house. But let's just give him some credit because he really did go above and beyond.
Good effort, Paul. I hope you don't wake up and see one, though, right above your head.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I got to be honest.
I was lying in my bed yesterday looking up at the ceiling last night, and all I was thinking is,
are they watching you?
They're right above me right now.
And watching you at this moment.
But thank you, Paul, for putting everything away. You're the best.
Good job, man. You know what I did this weekend, Anna, is I watched a mediocre romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. Not once, but twice, because my wife fell asleep for the last 15 minutes and had to see the big reveal. Holiday, people. You could skip it. You could watch it. Either way, it's new on Netflix. We're running out of options. And that's what I did. I thought that was a pretty good effort.
And your wife didn't even say thank you for watching it twice?
Totally mediocre film. Not one bit of thanks.
Oh, let's give you some credit.
Thank you. Now, the first time she fell asleep, I thought I was just, making it through the movie at the end to be polite.
Right.
I wasn't even saying all the typical cynical things that I typically say when there's a terrible movie on. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It turns out she was asleep.
Whole time was asleep.
I couldn't even believe it.
No clue that you had watched the whole thing and then had to relive it again. She didn't even say thank you.
I mean, it wasn't even one of those ones that gave you the big stand up and cheer feeling. It wasn't good enough.
What didn't you get credit for over the weekend? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
Doing the right thing can be really hard.
I'm a good person, yes, it's true. I'm a good person, better than you.
That's That's why it's time for Credit Due.
I'm a good person.
Anna and Raven.
What didn't you get credit for over the weekend? You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. We'll give you the credit you deserve. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I ran out and moved my car before the mailman got to my neighbor's house because my car was blocking their mailbox and no one thanked me.
Wait a minute. That car, your car, was right. Blocking their mailbox, but you left your house, got in it, and you moved it so they could easily deliver the mail?
I mean, technically, I think her car was illegally parked. But that is nice of you to get out there before it comes because they could be waiting on a check.
Let's give you some credit.
Thank you.
That postal worker would have had to have gotten out.
They're not required to do that. I got news for you, Anna Zapp. They're not required to do that.
So what are they going to do? Just throw it over the car?
No, they could have ignored you and just came back the next day. Legally, that's what, I mean, that's in their rules. They could have done that.
Wow.
Nobody's ever actually waiting on a check, but there's nothing worse than thinking you might be getting a check and then looking outside and seeing somebody is parked in front of your mailbox. That was nice of her.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What didn't you get credit for this weekend?
So this weekend, I take my kids for a hike. The whole reason is so that my wife can go to the, you know, get her nails done, not worry about anything. When I tell her that she should thank me, she just yells at me instead and tells me that that is my job as a dad.
Right. So now all your activities have to be at least a hike or better as a dad moving ahead.
She's not wrong, but I'll give you some credit anyway.
Take it when you can get it.
But I see your true colors shining
through. He stepped up and he was an actual dad. To his own children.
It's nice to get a mani-pedi and not have to worry about what's going on out there in the world. That's true, but again, I'm not sure whether or not you get an award for that because, I mean, it was super nice out and they are your children, so,
right.
You
yeah.
know.
Yeah. They're your kids. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What didn't you get credit for this weekend?
I didn't watch any football all weekend long. I did everything that my wife wanted to do this weekend, and I didn't even get rewarded.
A single snap. Didn't see anything. Not even the red zone recap. That's terrible.
We'll give you some credit right now. You know who didn't get that luxury yesterday?
Who's that?
My husband, Paul, where I said, no, we have to take the girls to the park. It's too nice. You don't need to watch football. And then we got in the car, and I heard him out of the corner of his mouth say, Siri, who won the Giants game? I felt so bad for him. If you didn't get credit for something, we always want to give you the credit you deserve. You could always call or text 1-800-330-9999. It's with Anna and Raven. Deanna. All your kids are doing is staring at those screens all day long.
Remember when they told you that if you sat that close to the TV, you'd go blind?
Is that true? Is it real? We're going to find out. It's Anna and Raven. Dr. Victoria Considine is an optometrist. Is it true? Are our kids going blind because of so much screen time?
So they're definitely not going blind. No, they're not going
good.
Blind.
Good. It's a relief.
That's a relief.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is this blue light thing that everybody's really concerned about. You know, what is blue light, right? Blue light is everywhere. Blue light actually mostly comes from just the sun, which absolutely everyone is exposed to. The reason it's kind of like in the news now because of all the increased device use, whether you're working from home or just on your phone all the time or whatever, they emit blue light at a time when the sun is not supposed to be out. So, you know, if you're outside in the sun on a normal day, you're getting some blue light, but then as the sun sets, you don't have it anymore. When you start to get that blue light after the sun sets, it affects your melatonin production. Melatonin is like a chemical that helps you sleep. Essentially, you're like tricking the brain into thinking, oh, the sun's still out. Like, I'm not sleepy yet.
Right. That's why you're not supposed to have your phone on before you go to bed, right? That's like one of the big reasons why.
Boy, I wish they had iPads when I was a rave promoter. I'll never sleep ever.
Yeah. For those that do want to sleep, like a really easy thing you can do is just, you know, there's a setting on your iPhone, right? If you go to settings and I think it's appearance and brightness, you can either change it to night mode or dark mode, depending on which model phone you have. And that helps. The other thing that people are like interested in now is these blue light blocking glasses.
Right. So all my friends are buying them for their kids.
Yeah.
At first I thought it was a joke because remember like the blue blockers, you know, used to wear the blue
grandparents, blockers? Man, they were so large. You could put them right on over your regular eyeglasses while you drove your Lincoln four-door down the street.
Yeah, but now all my friends are buying them for their kids, and they're saying that you're supposed to do that to protect their eyes. Now, my daughter wears glasses, so I'm a little bit concerned about it because I'm like, wait, should I be getting these for my child, too?
Yeah, so there's a few parts to that question. So first of all, regular glasses can come with blue light filters, and normal anti-reflective coating, like a high-quality one, can also block blue light. The other blue light glasses that anyone can buy with no prescription at all, the issue is kids specifically are more susceptible to any kind of eye damage because their eyes are like so young and crystal clear and vulnerable, like more light of any type gets into the eye, like to the back of the eye, to the retina. And so all this stuff looking at blue light and how it could potentially cause eye health problems, that's why they want the kids to wear it, because they want to protect their eyes, especially because they're just more susceptible to damage.
Okay, so the answer is
borrow them from grandma.
That's what it comes down to.
The answer is those blue blockers they got back in the day, they were a little bit large, maybe not fashion forward, but they still did the job.
So again, it's like a tricky answer because this is a new technology. So there are just no long-term studies that prove that they're like 100% helpful. Really has not been studied extensively enough to guarantee that it's going to do anything. On the other hand, we know that blue light can be harmful, and we know that these glasses block the blue light, so it definitely can't hurt, and many people say it helps, so whether it helps or not, it can't hurt.
Optometrist Dr. Victoria Considine, thank you. I don't know if I'm just overtired from the week or if I just have a case of the giggles, but when I read this story about what some parents are doing to their children when they're late at school, even though it's awful, I could not stop laughing. It's coming up next. It's definitely all I need to know about you with Anna and Raven.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 I can't stop giggling. There's something wrong with me. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You're going to see this all over the news today.
What happened?
If you throw your children over a 6-foot fence because they're late to school and you want them to go to school.
Wait a minute, what?
That's all I need to know about you. An elementary school in France had to post pictures everywhere because they have a hard rule. If the kids are not at school at 8:30, they close the fence, the gate, the 6-foot gate. Right?
Okay.
And what parents are starting to do, because they're so desperate and they're running late, is they're just tossing their kids over. The-
Like, oh, you're trying to get contraband into a prison. Like, I mean, until they come up with a drone that can lift your 9-year-old, I mean, that's where you're forced to be.
Oh, but the funny part is I read this, and I understand where the parents are coming from.
Of course. So- I can't watch this kid the next 6 hours. You're taking him.
Pick up at our school is hard, 2 o'clock.
Right.
Here's the thing. You know, I do parent pickup. 1:59, that gate closes. And it's for their safety because the kids go to the cars and everything. It's the way they figured it out for COVID.
Of course.
But if you are 1 second late,
right,
you are stuck outside that gate.
And you're going to be out there forever.
Do you know how many times, like, I've rushed from work. I've rushed. And I get there and it's 2 o'clock. I'm a dot.
Right.
And that gate is closed. And I know Hayden is going to be so mad at me, my older daughter.
And think about the worst job is the person closing the gate as people plead with them, right, at that last second. Right. This happened, that happened, whatever. You're trying to be so nice. And then when they say no, immediately the psycho comes out of you and you're like, you're going to burn in hell.
So I just sat there, right, every time.
Yeah.
And then I screamed so she could hear me because I could see her looking at all the parents.
Right, right.
And being like, where's my mom?
Here.
I go, Hayden, I'm so sorry. Mommy's so sorry.
I still love you, right, but I'm not going to make it inside.
Oh, but school drop-off's the worst, because remember, there was that one semester last year where my husband brings the girls to school because
right,
he's home in the morning.
Because obviously you're not.
That report card had 10 tardies, and I lost my mind.
Right.
I go, 10 times? 10 times you couldn't get her to school on time?
Right.
So they started racing like crazy, and then we had to have a conversation about, like, no, we still have to drive safely
right,
to school.
Right, driving
never
like a crazy person.
Did we think? Throw her over the gate.
Right.
It's so, why do we think about it? We just take the leg and we just toss her right over.
I mean, maybe bring a step stool even to give yourself a boost to be prepared for the inevitable, really, right?
I don't know. You throw your kid over the gate so they're not late for school. That's all I need to know about you.
Whatever it takes to get them in there.
Yep.
Yeah. And if the kid's game, too, as a dad, you're just like, all right, fun time again.
Right.
Who cares if he goes in with muddy knees?
You got your sneakers?
Right.
All right, let's go.
You're listening to the...
Do you fill your gas tank when it hits the halfway mark? Do you wait till the light comes on and then you're like, oh, now it's time to go to the gas station? Turns out there's a psychology behind that. Coming up next with Anna and Raven. I've got this new car and it's different on how I know how much gas is in there.
Sure.
You know how they say like it's like full tank, quarter tank, all that?
Yeah.
This doesn't have it. It has 12 dots, so now I'm trying to do the math.
Figure out how many miles you get out of each space in between dots.
Yeah, Anna and Raven.
Just keep an eye on it. When it starts to get low, fill it up. Seems pretty straightforward.
My girlfriend Danielle runs out of gas all the time, and I told her that like maybe she should count the dots, but she swears that like it has nothing to do with dots. She's just absent-minded like that.
Seems crazy.
So, Dan, when we went pumpkin picking, you guys ran out of gas in the orchard. But I was surprised that Charlie let that happen because usually it's you that runs out of gas.
True. Very true.
How do you run out of gas in modern times, Danielle? I mean, you're such a smart person. You seem very well put together.
Well, no, it's better now because I have a different car.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the cars do a better job of notifying you when you're going to run out of gas. So, like, I had a car that when you got to the point where you had to put gas in it, like a little light went on.
Yeah.
And like, that was it. So then I would see it and I would go, oh, I'm low, but I have time.
Okay.
And then I would just keep going. And then I would forget. And like, it didn't remind me every time I got in the car. So I'd turn it off and turn it back on. And it didn't tell me again. So that was really my big problem with that one car. But now like the car, yeah.
The light would turn off? So what you're saying is, besides the gas gauge itself, where one side
right.
says F for full and the other side says E for empty, and typically has a little red line before it, if I'm not mistaken, when it's at like the half part anyways. Besides that, the indicator light was not enough. So the light would come on. And I think that light
right.
only comes on like the last 20 or 25 miles or so.
But even when you're on zero, you still have time. So, you know.
No, yeah. No.
Danielle has showed up to my house
no.
when it says zero.
What?
And says that she could still make it home.
I mean, Dan, why? Yeah. Why take that chance, Danielle? Why?
Dan, how many times have you run out of gas? Dan, how many times have you run out of gas?
I mean, recently? I mean, at least twice a year. I'm not even kidding.
What? Twice a year?
Maybe. It's better now, though, that I have this car. Because, like, every time I get in, it's like, low fuel. Here's a gas station that's near you.
No.
And that it's better.
But that's not normal that every time you get in a car, it says low fuel. Do you ever actually fill it? When you go to the station, are you putting $5, $10 in?
You know when it gets filled? When my husband gets in and drives it. And he's like, oh, my God, it's... Yep,
Dan,
it's true.
Can you quickly tell a story about when you ran out of gas at the grocery store and you had to have a stranger bring you and the kids home?
That was another apple picking trip, and we were getting ready to go, and we went to the grocery store because I wanted to get snacks, and my kids were little because this is like a few years ago. So we go there, and I ran out of gas, and we're like in a rush, and we're going apple picking. So I run in and I use the grocery store phone. It's like a small grocery store by my house. My husband was helping a friend and he wasn't answering any of the phones. A woman overheard me and offered to bring us home because it was like a mile down the road. I got my two kids in her car. She was so kind. She had two giant dogs in the car and she drove us home.
She got a car with strangers. She put her kids in a car with a stranger.
And large dogs.
To bring her home because she ran out of gas.
Because she just won't hear that gauge.
Right.
Okay, this has been fun. This has been interesting.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan. Yeah. Just wanted to make sure I got that right.
He'll fill up right now.
You're welcome.
What's your gas tank protocol? When do you go and get gas? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. How many times in your life have you run out of gas? It's Anna and Raven. My girlfriend Danielle runs out of gas all the time. And now I have this new car and I'm not sure how to read the gauge because it's dots instead of like saying half tank, quarter tank. And I'm like, wait a minute. Now I'm going to run out of gas because I don't know what I'm doing.
I probably run out of gas like once in my entire life. And I'm pretty sure I was like 17 or 19 years old. It was definitely a long, long time ago.
1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What's your gas filling protocol?
I mean, I'm one of these people that always runs out of gas. It drives my husband crazy. I don't even know how it happens. I mean, I'm running around with the kids. Going crazy. The gauge is kind of like hidden in the back of this dashboard. And I don't know. I can't remember to do it.
It's hidden.
I mean, how hidden can it be? It's there for you to read. That's its sole purpose for existence.
Right.
Well, they should put it in a better place.
Maybe you should move that photo you have there or something. Whatever it is that's stuck in front of your dashboard, maybe let's clean it.
I mean, is it really behind the dashboard?
Lick the plastic and wipe it with your sleeve.
They put gas gauges behind the dashboard?
It's like behind the wheel.
Yeah.
It's like way behind the wheel.
I mean, you get kids in there, too. On top of it, you're rolling around. That's irresponsible. I'm sorry.
Sometimes it happens. But it happens, though. It's not like the foremost priority in your mind. It happens.
How many times have you run out of gas? Be honest with me. How many times have you run out of gas that you can remember? Recent memory.
I mean, it's got to be...
That is horrible. There is no excuse whatsoever for that.
She makes my friend look like a saint when it comes to gas.
Seven times with screaming babies in the car.
I mean, it happens.
It's terrible. I see you in a bus hanging off a cliff.
To me, if it happened once, it'd be one time too many.
Never again.
Yeah. Hi, it's Ian on Raven. What's your gas tank protocol?
I am totally neurotic. So once my gas tank hits half empty, I'm getting gas. It just gives you such anxiety to drive around on it. Just
half a tank, though.
In case she was out there in the jungle. She could have been out in the desert or something like that.
You know, or like if there's a backup or something. I mean, you never know.
Yeah. Now, I mean, between here and like Arizona, you do pretty much know. It's usually pretty consistent. But it's true. When you're out there, if you're on a road trip or something like that, you'll pass one exit and it'll say, next road stop or something like that, 110 miles. And you're like, how's that even possible? That doesn't make sense.
You got at least 175 gallons to empty.
No, 175 miles. That's probably 6 gallons, depending on her car.
Oh.
But it's good that you're so good at math.
That I can figure this out.
She's looking at the ceiling right now. I want you to know that as she tries to figure it out whether or not what I'm saying is right.
It's just making me think maybe I should fill up every half tank, too.
Well.
All right, thank you for the call. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your gas tank protocol?
My gas gauge has been broken for a year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
So I never really know how much gas I have. So I'm sort of just one of those guys who fills up, resets my miles, and then around like 230 to 250, depending on where I am, I fill it up again.
Yeah. You're good. You'll be fine as long as you don't forget.
Wait a minute.
Let that one friend borrow your car one day, though, and be like, yeah, sure, it's no problem. And they're like, yeah. I'll put gas in it, and they never see it move, and now it's dead somewhere on the side of the road.
I don't think I'd be able to sleep at night if I didn't know how much gas was in my car.
Most tanks are like 300 miles or a little bit plus, like 350 or something like that is the average for what you'll get out of a gas tank. So if he's at 250, he's safer than most and he didn't even know it.
What if he's like us where he takes random naps in the car like outside of Walmart?
Well, you can't gauge those. Right.
Then what?
Well, then you're playing with fire.
Right. Oh, I don't know. I'm not down with that. Like, go get it fixed. There's got to be a way to fix it, right?
Trust me, it's more expensive than you think.
How do you handle your gas filling protocol? Turns out there's actually a psychology behind it. Dr. Joe Shippa is coming up next with Anna and Raven. This is an interesting one to dive into, the psychology of what you do with your gas tank. Because what we've learned earlier this morning is that there's people that constantly, like my good friend Danielle, who runs out of gas, like all the time. She's run out of gas like 5 times in the last year. And then there's the other people that never let it go below half a tank. Like, what makes you play that game? It's Anna and Raven, psychologist Dr. Joe Shippa.
Well, you know, I don't know that there's been any kind of social psychology experiments on this and studies, but I guess what you could really get it down to is those people who are planners versus those people who are not planners. Those that plan, you know, are the kinds of people who schedule things. They are lower risk takers. They're into safety. They're also into saving time. And they can be very detail oriented. The other folks are probably the opposite, the non-detailed kinds of people. And they can probably be sort of risk takers. It's kind of boring to watch your gas gauge. These are people who are maybe high arousal people. They like things that sort of give them a sense of enjoyment. So they don't pay attention to it. They're not as detail driven. And then you've got, there's this other subgroup in there that I think are sort of the people who just forget. This sometimes includes a group of people that might have attentional problems, those classic kinds of ADHD people. They just don't put it on their radar. It's not a planning thing. It, you know, their executive functions aren't particularly working, and they're just not there with it. They see it as sort of like, oh, another thing to do. I'll pick it up when I'm down to the very end. And it kind of gives them a charge. It's kind of interesting. It's like, oh, my God, I've got to get this. Gotta get the gas.
It's high stakes gambling.
Oh my gosh. I get
it. This is me and you at a roulette table. It's you watching your gas gauge.
Right.
These are folks that are high arousal people. They operate, and you'll notice a lot of times that it's not just with their gas. I mean, it's with a lot of other things that they do in their lives. It's last minute stuff.
So if you're a reckless hot mess, you let yourself get too low.
Well, some people they like to live on that edge.
If you're a boring person, but you pay your bills on time and have a good credit score, you're probably going to fill up around half a tank just in case.
I mean, those are kind of generalizations, but for a lot of people, it would make a lot of sense, I'm guessing.
So if I wait till a quarter, I wait till the light comes on. And the minute the light comes on, I immediately go to a gas station. What does that make me?
So you're one of those people who responds to alarms. That's probably the largest group of people. It's the ones who really don't go below that filled line. Those are people who are maybe a little overly cautious too. You know, they're like, I must always be prepared. You know,
yeah. My dad was like that.
Yeah, and when things don't go well, that preparation doesn't play out for them. They're not often so resilient. It upsets them a great deal.
Right, right, quite a bit.
Yeah,
Anna, I will just say this: is the light comes on when you only have like 20 to 25 miles
no,
left?
No,
okay?
My car it's usually like 40 miles, and in my mind,
how is that? I thought it was like standard. It was like 25, but 40?
No.
Okay, that's good.
Because then I'm like, I have plenty of time to get to the next gas station.
All right.
You know, but
yeah.
I don't.
Yes.
But when it starts blinking, when there's no more miles.
Oh, yeah. No, that's bad.
Oh, yeah.
No more miles usually means you're pulling over.
And then,
right.
Then I have like a full sweat. And I'm like, please, please, Jesus.
Right.
Jesus, just make me like.
There's your charge.
Yeah.
There's your arousal.
Dr. Joe, thank you for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it as always.
No problem. My pleasure. And stay safe. Yeah.
I was cleaning out my house and I found this under my couch and it was so nasty, but I still kind of wanted to eat it. Which is nasty when you say it out loud and admit it.
Yes. Right? No, that is.
It's disgusting.
Right.
Yeah. What's the nastiest thing you found when you were cleaning out your house? 1-800-330-9999. Fill you in coming up next with Anna and Raven. Take a look at this polio string cheese right now. It looks like a normal polio string cheese, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Anna and Raven. It's as hard as a rock. You want to know why?
Why?
Because I found it under my couch. And I've been thinking about it. How long has it been under there? Months? Years?
Right.
Days? Who knows? When I found it, I thought to myself, should I eat it? Isn't that nasty?
I mean, as a way of figuring out the experiment or just the fact that you can't resist a polio string cheese.
A little bit of all of it, I think, is what comes together. One, I'm disgusted by the fact that there was a polio string cheese that was living under my couch. To be fair, it was also paired with a bunch of goldfish and animal crackers.
Right, and dust bunnies, I'm guessing, right?
Nastiness.
So it's like a whole ecosystem down underneath there.
Yeah, but what alarmed me the most is the fact that it looks completely normal.
Right.
Yeah, it's like it's supposed to be cheese. Like, shouldn't it mold or something?
You see those posts from time to time, right? Or the Reddit lines or whatever where they talk about, here is a 30-year-old Big Mac or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, come on, is that for real? But I still want a Big Mac when I see it.
Still looks good.
Right.
Paleo string cheese still look good. A little bit dry, but overall, like, if I was hungry enough, maybe I'd take a bite, which is pretty nasty.
I wish I was that lucky to find something that was just food and properly sealed like that underneath a piece of furniture. We just cleaned my attic out because they did the roof, obviously, and we're having a bunch of stuff done. And so I cleaned the attic out. All I found was a dead mouse.
Ew.
And I think a part of a bird. But I think the mouse ate the bird before the mouse then died. It was a long, cold winter that year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, I don't know when it's from. It's way back. I'm always amazed at the resiliency of animals to survive. Like when the mice that are in my shed shred all our patio furniture pads and set up like a penthouse full of foam and make it through a cold winter.
Yeah.
That's always impressive. It angers me. Unbelievably much so, but yes, it's impressive.
Circle of life, Ryan. Right. That's how it works.
Yeah. Well, just screw me in my pads, I guess.
I think a lot of people have been finding really strange things around their house, especially even though it's obviously fall, winter, but everyone's been spring cleaning because we've been home so much because of the quarantine and the pandemic.
You need every inch of your space, too. You got to set up a classroom or whatever half the times. You're in the closets you haven't opened in a long time. That's true.
What's the nastiest thing you have found when you were cleaning out your house? 1-800-330-9999. Call or text. It's Anna and Raven. What's the nastiest thing you found when you were cleaning out your house? It's Anna and Raven. A lot of, even though it's fall, spring cleaning going on. I feel like this has been the year to clean out the house.
I don't think you have to call it spring cleaning once we get to the fall, winter time.
Well.
I mean, you're just cleaning.
Cleaning.
Right. COVID cleaning, maybe?
Maybe.
Because it's still going on.
That works. I found a Paleo string cheese under my couch, and what shocked me about the Paleo string cheese was the fact that it looked like it was brand new.
Right.
You couldn't even tell that it'd probably been there for months, years, decades, maybe.
A little bit longer until the plastic would yellow, I'm guessing, but you know it's not right.
Right.
When you can slap it against something, and it sounds like that. That's not what I think of when I think of string cheese.
What's the strangest slash nastiest thing you found when you were cleaning out your house this year? 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven.
My 3-year-old son refused to be potty trained. He would do everything in his power to not use potty. He was like afraid of it. I thought he was holding it because he didn't go for like 2 days. Then I found a pile of it hidden in the crib between our couch and the love seat.
Oh, my God. It's like the dog. It's like the dog from the old tenants that lived there.
Oh.
As funny as it sounds, I'm pretty sure, and you've heard my wife say this, Hannah, that we think that the people that owned the house before us, they had like 4 kids. One of those kids had a rep in the neighborhood as like he would just go wherever he was. He would just do whatever. And they would just laugh and be like, oh, that happens. I'm pretty sure that kid used to pee all over the house, too.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, we clean and clean. But every once in a while, if the sun hits something right, you're like, wait a minute.
What's that smell?
Yes.
Yeah. I have a nephew like this actually going through this right now. Is they get scared. They have to release, so they go and they hide and they do it. It's actually really sad.
But is it scared or is it anarchist?
No,
is it anarchist in training? They're just like, oh, chaos. Oh,
imagine if you were scared of the toilet. It's scary when it flushes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm scared of walking into whatever they are doing. I'm scared of that.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the nastiest thing you found while cleaning out your house?
I had my shaving cream explode in my bathroom cabinet. Like, I didn't notice it at all for a very long time. So when my wife was cleaning it out, it had rotten all through the cabinet wood all the way to the floor.
Oh, man. You leave it in there long enough, that stuff will, like, eat through stuff.
It ate through the cabinet? That is some serious shaving cream. You put that on your face?
Yeah, feels real good.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the nastiest thing you found while cleaning out your house?
When I was in college, I lived in the dorms, and we always hear this noise under the stove. Like we, a bunch of guys, and we never did anything about it. Finally, when we moved, the stove, there was a dead skunk stuck underneath the stove. So we used to leave the front door open. It must have come in. So that was the worst. The worst.
How did the skunk not grow afraid enough to shoot its stank?
I don't know.
I mean, you
it
would
was nice
think
and warm over there.
You would think that, you know, people would know.
Are you trying to evaluate the psyche of a skunk
I'm
right now?
I'm just saying the death blows, I think, would involve that potent stank bomb. But that's just me.
We need a
scientist. I'm going out, I'm going out with a bang.
Ooh. Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their issue is about, and then you decide who's right. It all comes down to winning a 50-50 raffle at their son's elementary school. What do they do with the money? Because dad is not on board with what mom wants to do. You'll get the whole story, and you'll be the judge. Coming up next, Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Tom and Alyssa. Alyssa, what's going on?
My husband and I entered like a virtual raffle, the fundraiser thing for our son's school, and we actually ended up winning.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great. It was a cash prize. It was $1,000.
Nice.
And yeah, and the thing is, I'd heard from a couple of the moms and the PTA that, like, I guess in the last 2 years, the winners just donated the money back to the school because, it's a fundraising event. When I talked to my husband about it, well, so Tom doesn't think we should do it. he was like, heck no, we paid our $20 for our ticket and won. Like, why would we give the money back? Like,
Tom, is that true?
Tom,
you don't want to support the school?
Yeah, I mean, that's $1,000. That's basically like a $980 gain. Like, why wouldn't we keep that? We could use that for our 12-year anniversary. We could go use it on an Airbnb that we normally wouldn't spend, you know?
I mean, so you could turn around and use it on Christmas, too. Anna and I have actually had this conversation before,
many times.
The 50-50 raffle is one thing.
Yep.
A straight raffle ticket where you win cash, that's something else. You know, the 50-50, they always expect you to give your end of the winnings back.
Alyssa, I understand, because my husband at the father-daughter dance twice has won the 50-50 raffle.
And walked right out the building.
Will not get that money. It's humiliating. And it's not even $1,000. I think once it was $136. Yeah. And one time it was like $80. I was like, are you serious? You didn't give them back $100?
I mean, I never win. If I win, I think I'm with him where I just want to take the score and run out the door.
All right. Well,
they'll forget me sooner or later.
We'll ask our audience what they think. And they may agree with you, Alyssa. If it's a school fundraiser, and if you won, then it'd be nice for you to donate the money back.
I mean, they're not even there.
Yeah, I mean, that could literally buy me a new PlayStation. Our son would be happy as hell.
It's his PlayStation.
Yes.
But the kid will be happy.
All right. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court with Anna and Raven. Alyssa and Tom won $1,000 from their child's school in a raffle. Here's the thing. A lot of the PTA moms have mentioned to Alyssa that usually what happens, definitely the last couple of years, is whoever wins that big prize of $1,000 donates it back to the school.
Yeah, here's the thing. Tom says, that's our money. We won that money. We already showed up. We bought our ticket. We took part in the virtual fundraiser. It's $1,000. We could use that money. We're keeping that money.
Would you give the money back? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
I'm on the wife's side and the child's side because parents talk in front of their kids, and that child is going to be blackballed.
But because what? Their dad didn't return the fundraising money from a ticket he bought and purchased and was supposed to be able to keep, they're going to blackball that child's future? That seems a little bit over the top. Thank you for the call.
Your daddy didn't contribute to our Chromebooks.
Right, that's it. I'm not going to hire you 10 years from now when we work in the same community.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Ann and Raven. Alyssa and Tom won a virtual fundraiser at their son's school, and they won $1,000. Now, here's the thing. A couple of the PTA moms have casually mentioned to Alyssa that the last couple of years, the winners of the big grand prize have always donated it back to the school.
Here's what I'm thinking. Them PTAs, they're greedy, all right? And that's what Tom thinks, too. Tom says, no, we took part in this fundraiser. We bought our ticket. We actually won. We never win anything. This is our year. We're keeping this money.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Ian and Raven.
His side. They won the darn raffle. It's not a 50-50. You know what? If the PTO wants a different fundraiser and doesn't expect the money back, then they need to figure out another thing.
You know, the thing about the 50-50 is they already get to keep half anyway. That's the whole point of them making the money in the first place, right? Giving it back is ridiculous. If you won the 50-50 at Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park, you wouldn't hand it back, right?
You can't compare Fenway Park or Yankee Stadium to your kid's elementary school that needs money for the teacher.
Oh, I definitely can. I'm anonymous.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the father's side. It's not every day that you win a raffle. And, you know, it is the holidays. Just have some fun with it. It is your 12-year anniversary.
If there was ever a year that you needed the money, I would point to this year as
the 2020
year. Right. And if there was ever a year that Absolutely. The school, frankly, didn't need the money.
Schools always need the money.
Well, of course. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like they're having big events at school. If it's not money for sanitizer, what's that money for?
Clorox wipes. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
Oh, I am on Tom's side. I say, and I'm talking about, I've run an awful lot of fundraising things, and I actually love when people give the money back, but I hate when people talk about it too much, if it's like just expected, because nobody buys tickets then if they figure they got to give it back anyway.
Yeah, very good point, right?
Yeah,
very
but you're...
good point. People get to make up their own mind.
But then you're still supporting the organization by buying the tickets. They're making some money off of it. Isn't
right?
that what you're doing it for?
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Tom, our audience agreed with you this morning. If you won the $1,000, they already made their money off of being a 50-50. You paid your due. Now you won, so you get to keep it.
Oh, yeah. It's exactly how I wanted it.
Bree, you going to survive this?
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to have to lay low for a little while, I think.
The easiest way to solve that, Tom, is just give her a cut.
No.
Make sure she gets her cut.
Your son's going to have to switch schools. It's terrible. You're going to have to find a new school district for your child.
Pay him off, too. All right. Now, $500 to you, $250 to each of them. You're good. Whoever paid for that ticket, you're good.
Maybe give half back. How about that? That was a good suggestion. We heard that a couple times.
Your husband didn't do it.
No. You have a problem, too. Send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com. Look at these phones. They're going crazy.
Look at these dollars, yo.
Woo! I'm so excited because you know why, Raven?
Why?
Because I'm about to give away $2,800.
I mean, you believe you're going to.
If you know your stuff and you really know your stuff, because these questions are tricky this morning, we want you to call right now. Can't beat Raven. 1-800-330-9999. If you can beat Raven, this $2,800 today will be yours.
Good luck. Let's play.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
This is Michelle.
Michelle, you are up. We have $2,800 on the line. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Michelle. But
thank
not too
you.
Much.
All right, let's go. I'm excited. I want to give away this cash. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I give you about 3 seconds. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You win $2,800. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Number 1, Craig Robinson, best known as Daryl from The Office, will host a Masked Singer spinoff called The Masked Dancer. What 2010 film about time travel did Craig Robinson star in alongside John Cusack?
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Number 2, Cardi B was named Footwear's Style Influencer of the Year. In her song, I Like It, she famously raps that she loves these brands of shoes, the ones that look like socks. Which brand is that?
Balenciaga.
Number 3, Lark Voorhees will return as Lisa Turtle on the new Saved by the Bell. That leaves Screech as the only main cast member from the original who's not scheduled to return. What actor plays Screech?
Dustin Diamond.
Number 4, Netflix is raising their rates in the U.S. again to $14 a month. The most watched Netflix original movie of all time was a 2020 action thriller that starred Chris Hemsworth. What movie was that?
I don't know.
And number 5, Lori Loughlin reported to prison to serve her 2-month sentence, and it sounds like she's not going to get out early. On Full House, what was the name of the TV show that Aunt Becky and Danny Tanner hosted?
Good Morning San Francisco.
Oh, so close, Michelle.
Oh, God.
Let me bring him back in.
Yo.
I don't know. All right, Michelle, she got 3 out of 5.
Hey.
But these questions are hard.
Let's see how I do.
Number 1, Craig Robinson, best known as Daryl from The Office, will host a Masked Singer spinoff called The Masked Dancer.
I know.
What 2010 film about time travel did Craig Robinson star in alongside John Cusack?
It's got to be Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yes.
All right.
Number 2, Cardi B was named Footwear Style Influencer of the Year. In her song, I Like It, she famously raps that she loves these brands of shoes, the ones that look like socks. What brand is that?
I mean, the only thing I know about her with shoes is Louis.
No, it's Balenciaga.
Yeah, no, I have no idea. I probably thought she was speaking Spanish during that time.
Number three. No, Lark Voorhees will return as Lisa Turtle on the new Saved by the Bell, and that leaves Screech as the only main cast member from the original who's not scheduled to return.
Right.
What actor plays Screech?
Dustin Diamond.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number four, Netflix is raising their rates in the U.S. again to $14 a month. The most watched Netflix original movie of all time was a 2020 action thriller that starred Chris Hemsworth. What movie was that?
Extraction. That movie is legit. I recommend that movie to people like people call voter banks.
All right, you guys are tied at three. Darn it, Michelle. Number five. Lori Loughlin reported to prison to serve her 2-month sentence, and it sounds like she's not going to get out early. On Full House, what was the name of the TV show that Aunt Becky and Danny Tanner hosted?
Full House?
Yeah.
That's my guess.
That's your guess?
That's my only. I mean, I never watched the show.
My gosh, Michelle, you were so freaking close. If you would have gotten that,
you
would have won the cash.
Look at her. Oh. That's not fair. You can't be mad at her.
I'm not mad at her.
What is the name of the show?
I'm mad at myself.
Yeah, it's Wake Up San Francisco.
Oh, I would have never guessed that. Yeah. Never saw it.
Yeah, Michelle, you were so close. Gosh, you were so close. My heart aches for you, but I'm going to hook you up with an Anna and Raven t-shirt, which is just as good as $2,800.
Enjoy that shirt.
It's Michelle, and I can't beat Raven.
Oh, thanks, Michelle. Hold on.
Better luck next time. $2,900 tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the jackpot. Make sure you're listening at noon and 5:30 today for the cheat sheet, the first two answers to tomorrow's five pop culture questions. It's with Anna and Raven.
The Anna and Raven Show.
We got a call yesterday from a woman asking if she continued to date a man who had these. And it brought up a good question. I don't know. You'll decide. Coming up in about 7 minutes with Anna and Raven. Got an interesting call yesterday. Check it out. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's going on?
Hi. So I think this is kind of rude, but I don't really know, and I just want to know what you guys think about this.
Okay.
I went out with a guy last week. Nice guy. The thing is, he had really small hands, like bizarrely small hands, to the point where I know that my hands were bigger than his hands. And I couldn't stop staring at his hands the whole time throughout dinner and just kind of being distracted by his small hands.
Got baby hands.
Yeah, kind of. It's just weird. Anyway, he wants to go out with me again, and I just don't know that I feel comfortable going out with him because I feel like I'm going to be staring at his hands the whole time.
It's a small hand man, Anna Zapp.
Wait, hold on. Take the hands out of the equation. Did you like him? Like, if you had never seen his hands... His hands were behind his back the whole time.
Right.
Would you have thought that this is a man that you were attracted to and that you liked his personality?
Attracted? Sure. Yeah. Super nice personality. Super nice guy.
Well, that's because he's got tiny hands. Right. He's got to compensate for his tiny hands with a great personality.
Do people know they have tiny hands?
I think that they probably. I mean, if they were that shockingly tiny, I think somebody might know.
But you didn't answer. Did you like him? Like, if he had normal sized hands,
right?
Would you have gone on a second date with him?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Huh.
Got to get a hand transplant. All right. Maybe padded gloves. Something like that. Huh? Do you like smartphones? Do you have an iPhone or an Android? I'm sure you have a smartphone, right?
Yeah.
Well, who do you think builds those phones? Tiny-handed individuals.
Elves. Elves build them.
Well, you know what? How large are an elf's hands? They're tiny.
Right now, he works for Santa's.
He could be an elf.
All right. I have to be honest. I don't know if you're being picky or not. I think that's kind of a personal thing. But if it's always going to bother you, then I probably wouldn't date the guy. It's going to stick with you. And that's all you're going to think about. So why are you going to make it go on even longer? Don't tell him. The reason why you're not going out with
maybe them. Maybe they're a doctor. All right, I always pick doctors with tiny hands. I told you why.
That's because of your prostate issues,
right?
That's 100% different.
There's no issues because they have tiny hands.
All right, that's disgusting and not something we needed to share on there. It's an interesting call, and it's an interesting thing because if you like a person, can you overlook certain things that bother you?
Don't you always? Doesn't everybody overlook something? Right.
I don't know.
It's just, you're going to be able to share gloves. Think about all the money you'll save. You can buy children's gloves.
Wasn't it a Seinfeld episode about the small hands? Is that like a
no
common
idea.
Thing? Is that a common thing that people have small hands and it's freakish?
Well, if it was common, it wouldn't be freakish. She wouldn't have noticed, right?
I guess. What's a strange deal breaker for you when it comes to who you date? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. It's Anna and Raven. It's an interesting call. She says that she doesn't know if she should date this guy because his hands were freakishly small. I don't know. What's a strange turnoff that you have? That if your date had this, that's it. It's game over. 1-800-330-9999. You could call or text. It's coming up next with Anna and Raven. What's a strange turnoff for you when it comes to who you date? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Yesterday, Raven and I received this call.
I went out with a guy last week. Nice guy. The thing is, he had really small hands to the point where I know that my hands were bigger than his hands. And I couldn't stop staring at his hands the whole time.
I get it. There's some things that are very physically unappealing to some people.
Sure, she wants her man to be manly, strong, masculine, to protect her, guard her, hold her in those hands.
Yeah. What's your turnoffs? Like things that you can kind of keep it to yourself because it makes it sound shallow, but you're just not into it.
Well, it's been 1,000 years, obviously. I've been with my wife this whole time. But I'll tell you, when I was younger and in my 20s there, I couldn't stand if a girl liked football more than me. Like it just seemed excessive. If you liked it more than me.
That is weird.
And I'm not saying that, you know, it's not like I dated a lot of jocks or anything like that. So it's, you know, and there's nothing wrong, obviously, with a girl liking sports or being passionate about it. But for some reason, if a girl liked football more than me and we were dating, like, it just felt like we were in a competition as to who was more excited about Sunday. And that's just weird, you know? You can't have competition.
My best friend is like that. She's a super football fan. And she had Bears, like the box seats, the whole thing. She'd go fly out to Chicago.
Did she marry a guy who also loves football? He must be passionate about football also, right? Or else he's just weirded out by it.
I don't know. I don't know. Interesting.
Right.
Mine are so much more shallow, which makes me sad.
Okay.
I dumped a guy once in college because he had an earring. Any grown man that still has an earring.
I have like 17.
Yeah, but you don't wear the earrings still. But when you started, you did.
Sure.
And I was like, I was going to ask you to take them out, but I figured it wasn't really nice of
you. Yeah, it wasn't your place.
It wasn't my place.
Hey, I'm sorry. You know, I know we just met and everything, and this is crazy, but take your earrings out.
Yeah, I was going to go to HR, but it seemed like that wasn't really the right way to go about it either. I don't know if you've seen that he has earrings.
Right.
But to me, I think that's such a turnoff for men to have earrings. And the other thing is I can't date a guy that's smaller than me.
Okay.
Not so much as like height, whatever.
Yeah.
But like if you're petite. And I feel like I'm bigger than you.
If you ain't got strong arms.
If you're just like, if you're real small, like to me.
Your waist is a 27, right?
Yeah. I don't know. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What's the strange turnoff for you when it comes to who you date?
I can almost not even look at a man if he just has a mustache. Only a mustache without the beard.
I get that.
I've got long facial hair to begin with, but the mustache makes him look like, my kids call it a pedismile. Or a molestache.
Wow.
Your kids call it that.
You know, people made that up, and they did a terrible disservice to mustachers when they did that.
I think a mustache is so unattractive, and it annoys me that my father still insists on having one.
But it had its time. It had its time. In the 70s and 80s, Magnum P.I., Tom Selleck, still with that mustache.
Okay, you know what? I'll give Tom Selleck a pass. He's going to be sexy till the day he dies.
See what I'm saying? So it's all about how you rock the mustache, you know? Like Sam Elliott, I mean, that guy's got a killer mustache. Like, you can't kick that mustache out of bed. Come on.
I know I can.
They call that man the street sweeper.
Yeah.
he's sweeping up the love.
1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. What's your strange turnoff when it comes to who you date? It's Anna and Raven. A woman called yesterday and she said that she was being shallow, but she had gone on a great date with a guy, but she can't get the fact that his hands were freakishly small out of her mind to the point where she doesn't want to go out with him again.
Yeah, doll hands.
But it happens. You know, sometimes there's just a strange physical turnoff when it comes to who you date. What's yours? 1-800-330-9999. It's coming up next with Anna and Raven. We go together. We got this call yesterday. It's Anna and Raven.
I went out with a guy. Last thing is, he had really small hands, and I couldn't stop staring at his hands the whole time.
Guy's got small hands.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guy with small hands, but if you're not going to be able to get past it, I understand, girl. It's a turnoff.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. What is the strange turnoff for you when it comes to who you date? 1-800-330-9999.
Well, my turnoff is when I see a pinky nail that just grosses me out. Just a terrible turnoff. I just feel disgusted.
So if they've got longer nails. Longer nails, you can't stand that.
Yeah, longer nails or just that one pinky nail.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Right, I mean, cut that pinky nail.
Nobody
right,
wants I mean,
what
that.
What are you keeping that for? Are you a vampire?
Oh, right. Gosh, you can pick your tooth with it? Right. Like a toothpick.
Oh, my God, you just read my mind. Pick your tooth, pick your ear, pick your nose. Yeah. I don't know, what should be it for?
And Raven, what's that strange turnoff you have when it comes to the opposite sex?
One thing that turns me off is a woman with big feet.
Yeah.
Big feet.
Yeah, big feet are not a go for me. I like a woman with nice, you know, small foot. Maybe the biggest is a 7.5, but anything over that, it's just a complete turn off for me.
It's too much foot for you. What size shoe do you wear?
I'm a size 11.
Yeah, well, I mean, so then, I mean, it's not like you got tiny feet. Just, you know what you like.
Yeah, my wife's got a nice 7.5 foot, but when I was younger, I always kind of snuck up by my gun, the girl, and kind of put my foot next to hers
right.
to kind of get a
right. Right, just to save your guy's self the trouble from falling right. in love
Let's
before
see.
That. Right,
now's sometimes, a good call. Sometimes they trick you. They put right. on those black heels, and you can't really tell because they're on a slant.
Right.
He's like, I'm not messing around with that. Yeah, I'll put my foot right next to
you. Too close for comfort.
Yeah. Right. You guys are great, man. Take care.
Have a great Bye. Morning. Thanks.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was your weird turnoff?
So I dated this guy that was always answering his phone. He wore one of those, you know, those old school Bluetooth earpiece thingies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
They glow in the
and,
club.
Like, we would... Yeah, he would literally leave it in like at dinner, and after three dates I was done. Like yeah. it was, he would just pick up in the middle of like he'd hold his finger up like you know pause and then answer his phone. It was terrible
in his earpiece. Yeah. No, 100%.
Right.
I can't believe you made it three dates. To be honest,
there's only one person. Yeah. To me, the doctor gets that. That's it. And then anybody else that isn't a doctor. No, you don't get that.
There was an intern that worked here years ago that he used to have his ear all the time.
Oh, no.
And I wanted to say to him, like, please take that out.
Like, you're not even getting paid. Right? Like what important phone call are you waiting? Is the important phone call you're waiting from HR somewhere? Because you're working for free.
And every time I see somebody still with one of those in, I'm like, I don't understand.
Right.
Does
well,
it even
a
work?
Doctor.
Yeah.
That's the only reason is that clearly they are a doctor.
That's a serious turnoff.
Yeah. Ann Raven, what's your weird turnoff?
Oh, man. It was my ex-wife. She used to love Disney. And I mean, you know, it was cute and all, you know, for years or whatever, you know, it's cute. It's okay. I got it. I get it. But then, you know, she like takes it up another level. I mean, on the couch, you know, watching Cinderella and wearing Mickey ears. It's yeah. crazy.
That's like psychological. They're holding on to like the kids or something, right?
No, that
right,
is
you
the,
think?
No, absolutely not. No? That is the people that are obsessed with Disney. They are a whole culture. They are a yeah. whole group of people, and I'm sure many of them are listening right now.
I dated a girl who, in her 20s, she had this thing about rubber duckies and like ducky stuffed animals, and there were like duckies all over the place. Dude, I feel you. All
I can't
right?
believe you married her. It's so weird.
No. That was a girlfriend, you jerk. From now on, when I see stuffed animals in the back of somebody's cars, there's some sort of rage in me that ignites still to this day. It's a real thing.
Yeah, but the Disney thing is a common thing. But I can understand where as a grown
more
man.
More of those weirdos than others?
Oh, yeah. There's
that's
nothing.
Where they go to get together.
I like Disney, too, but there's a difference between like loving Disney and like enjoying it, and then that becomes your entire life.
You're listening to The Animal.